I think we're making this clearer as we go along, right? Our goal is not to have a successful children's work alone. Our goal is not just to have a junior high work or a high school work or a campus work or even to have a full-time training as a goal in itself. All of this is for God's testimony. God needs a testimony on this earth. And all of our work with the children, with the young people, with the campus, with the training, all of our work is for God's testimony. We have to have a clear view of this matter. Otherwise, our work will get off. Whenever we lose sight of the goal, and whenever our goal is not the right goal, then our work will be off. So tonight I like to conclude our fellowship with this matter. Our goal is God's testimony. Back in 1977, in the middle of a storm at that time, Brother Lee gave a conference, and that conference was entitled All Ages for the Lord's Testimony. And this marvelous, marvelous conference and these marvelous messages got lost in the storm at that time. Brother Lee was speaking here while things were going on in other places. And at that time, Brother Lee was fighting a battle to make something clear. And it didn't get through to us. So again and again, I have picked up this book to try to tell the saints, you must read this book. This little book, if you don't have it, or if you have it on the shelf and you've never read it, or if you haven't read it in the last 10 years or 5 years or 2 years, pick it up and read it again. It has a lot to do to focus us, for all of our work in the church life. And then in 1989, when Brother Lee came back to his ministry in Anaheim, he gave a series of talks concerning the church services. Talks concerning the church services, part one and part two. And what Sister Janine read this afternoon to you was from part two, in which Brother Lee points out, and this is what I quoted from, concerning the three major aspects of the church service. That is to teach the truth, to minister life, and preach the gospel. And then three subsidiary aspects, the children's work, the student work, and the community work. And in this book, he stressed all of these points, and especially in the community work as the neighborhood children's work, as the means to do the community gospel work. So I would also encourage you, these books cover a number of other very crucial things too. It covers the God-ordained way revealed in the New Testament, the service and responsibility of the eldership, the New Testament service as priests serving ones and slaves, serving unto the mystery of the faith, in part one, and then part two, 6 items of church service to be built up. Our service as priests to offer living persons to God, living a proper Christian life that produces the members of Christ, practicing our priesthood in a regular and diligent way, a practical church life realized in the group meetings, and building up the group meetings particularly and definitely. So this was quite comprehensive when Brother Lee resumed his ministry here in 1989 after that storm. So both of these books are related to storms. Whenever the storm comes, something particular gets released. And it's interesting, both times the children's work is an important burden in Brother Lee's heart, because the storms devastate the children and young people's work. They suffer the most. In fact, in Anaheim, the young people were the target of those dissenting ones who left the church life. They wrote letters individually to our junior highers in Anaheim, telling them all kinds of falsehoods. They particularly focused on the young people. So this shows the enemy is after our children and after our young people. So when this kind of storm has occurred in the past, something particular has been released. Among other things, these two books. So I would encourage you, they are documented at the end of this outline on page 15. So you have the titles written down there, and I give you the references. So I would encourage you to get these books and read them. We have to ask ourselves, what do we want for our children? What do we really want for our children? As parents, even as serving ones, What do we want? As parents especially, we may have a very unclear thought concerning what we want. We want them to grow up to be good. We want them to get a good education. We want them to have a good job. We don't want them to suffer what we may have suffered. We want them to be financially successful. Maybe some parents, they want them to be a Nobel Prize winner, or they want them to be a concert pianist, or they want them to be a top professor at Princeton or Harvard, or what do we want for our children? We all have to ask ourselves this, because what we want for our children affects what we do with our children, you see. Tonight, dear saints, I like to help us all to consider this matter together. We have to realize that whatever we want for our children governs what we do with them. We have to realize that the goal of our work with our children must be to build up the Lord's testimony on the earth. It must be. This is our goal for our children's work, for our young people's work, for our campus work, for our full-time training. All of the work that we do in the Lord's recovery as the co-workers, as the workers, is for one thing. That is to build up the Lord's testimony. The Lord needs a testimony on this earth. He must have a testimony on this earth. His intention is to have a testimony on this earth. His purpose, his heart's desire in eternity, is to have a testimony on this earth. He wants a corporate testimony to express him on the earth. In other words, God wants to be manifest in the flesh. He wants to be expressed on the earth. This is his testimony. This testimony is the church, the body of Christ. The church which can be God manifested in the flesh, which can be God on the earth, representing God, expressing God. This is what God is after in order to deal with his enemy, in order to clear up the whole situation in the world and in the universe. He needs a testimony. He needs a testimony. He needs a testimony to do what Adam failed to do. Adam failed to till the garden, to produce life, and to guard the garden. That is to deal with God's enemy. If Adam had carried out God's charge to him, that would have been God's testimony. He would have eaten the tree of life. He would have not only had the image and the likeness of God, he would have had the life and nature of God. Then he would have produced the seed of God to fill the whole earth and drive the enemy out. The earth is Satan's kingdom. And it needs to be taken over. By what? By God's testimony. What Adam failed to do. And eventually what Israel failed to do. And eventually what Christianity failed to do, the Lord's recovery is called to do. Amen. This is why we are here, saints. Otherwise, go back to Christianity. Why should we have a Lord's recovery? Because Christianity has failed to express God, to live God on this earth. They don't even believe it. They don't even believe. You know, the Catholics believe. And the Eastern Orthodox believe. But the Protestants, they don't believe. They say it's heretical. It's not heretical. It's the teaching of the church fathers that God became man so that man might become God. What is this God's testimony on the earth? This corporate God-man built up on the earth to express God on this earth. This is why we have a Lord's recovery. If we're not for that, go back. Go back. Have a good time. In Babylon until it burns. I'm serious. What do we need to go through all this for? You know, what, Dick, what do we need to go through this for? Because God needs a testimony. And he needs some overcomers. Those who will not go along with this age, and those who will not go along with Christianity, and those who will not go along with the common situation, even in the Lord's recovery. Even Lord's recovery needs overcomers.
Amen.
Philadelphia needs overcomers.
Amen.
This is what the Lord is after today. We cannot be content. We cannot be satisfied. If we are not for what God wants, then our whole purpose of our life on this earth is meaningless. So you live 60, 70, 80, 90 years. So what? If it doesn't reach God's goal, if it doesn't contribute something to reaching God's goal, we have to have this kind of view, dear brothers and sisters. If we don't, then please don't mess with our children. If you have a different view, don't mess with our children. We want those who have this view to raise up children with this view and young people with this view. This is what we need in the Lord's recovery today. We got too settled and too contented. We got too mingled. The Holy Seed mingled themselves with the nations. This is our situation. The world has crept in. We need to separate ourselves to be the Lord's testimony on this earth. To have the God-man living. This is what is needed today in the Lord's recovery, dear saints. We have to have a fresh view. This is in God's heart in eternity. And he couldn't get it with Adam. And he couldn't get it with Israel. And he couldn't get it with Christianity. Then who does he have left? How can he start over again? Do you think the last 70 years is in vain in the Lord's recovery? I don't believe it. I don't believe it. It's not in vain. It's not in vain. There must be some in the Lord's recovery today who will not be content with the common situation. Who say, I'm here for God's testimony. I'm here to build up God's testimony on this earth. We need some who are willing to pay any price for this. Just as Brother Lee testified, when he came out and left his very lovely job, his very profitable business connection to serve the Lord, he said, I was willing to drink the water from the stream and eat the bark of the tree. For this is worthwhile. I was there in Christianity. And then the Lord brought me to the Lord's recovery from the beginning of the recovery in this country. And then I was there in business for 11 years. But it's worth nothing. My colleagues couldn't understand. I went in to resign. My boss said, how much money do you want? I said, it's not a matter of money. God has called me to serve him. He said, well, let's put it this way. How about you come in 2 days a week? We'll give you the same salary. Put you on a consulting basis. I said, thanks very much, but I have to serve God. Satan never quits, you know. I was chairman of an industry committee in the insurance industry. Top executives from the major companies, 25 people. And they gave me a big dinner, a big luncheon, to send me off from my business. I got 4 job offers at that luncheon. Satan never gives up. Imagine that, the same money for 2 days' work. That's quite an increase, right? I was a senior executive of a national company. It's worth nothing. Tell you the truth, I had settled that matter years before. My life is for the Lord. My purpose on this earth is only for the Lord's testimony. Whenever you want me, Lord, I'm ready. And after I got all the promotions and got right up on the top of it, I said, okay, now I want you. So I said, okay, I'll tell you the truth. Because that matter had been settled earlier. I just walked away from it. Then the next question my boss asked me is, how much money are you going to get? I said, he said, what's your salary going to be? That's what he said. I said, I'm not going to get a salary. He said, what? Then he knew I was crazy. I said, no, the Lord will provide. Let me testify, that was 1968. That was 27 years. The Lord has provided everything that my family has needed for all of these years. The Lord has been so faithful. Even when the church had no money, the Lord provided. Sometimes the church had no money, but the Lord provided. This is what's worthwhile. This is what's worthwhile. Our purpose and our concern must be for the Lord's testimony. If we have some other purpose in being here, please don't touch our children. Don't touch our young people. Our work, the goal of our work, is the building up of the Lord's testimony. And we want serving ones who have the same goal, so that we can serve in oneness and with one accord, with a genuine one accord. All serving together, striving for the same goal, the building up of what has been in God's heart from eternity. Say, this is what it's all about. This is what it's all about. Then our purpose for our children must be this. What do we want for our children? Success? Material success? Political success? Recognition? Position? What do we want? Tell you the truth. If my children can be for the Lord's testimony, I'm satisfied. I'm satisfied. As long as they have bread and water on the table, that's good enough. I mean that sincerely, even myself. If I have a piece of bread to eat and a glass of water to drink, that's good enough. Yes, we do our best to bring them up, to get a good education. For what? We have to be very clear, and we have to settle this with the Lord and within ourselves. What do you want for your children? I tell you what I want for my children and my grandchildren. Nothing other than God's testimony. If they can be for that, then I'm satisfied. And God is satisfied. Whatever the world may think, whatever they may have or not have in this world, means nothing. I said already, God can blow on it. We first began meeting in New York in 1950, right after God blew on mainland China. You know what I mean? The communists took it over. And a number of dear saints from the churches there came to New York. We had the former head of the Bank of China. We had the former mayor of Shanghai. We had the military attaché at the UN. We had a lot of top-level people who got blown by God out of China. They got out, many of them, with nothing. We had one of the top professors from one of the top universities. Dear old brother Dr. Wang, PhD. He came with nothing. With no money, nothing. He had a top position, a comfortable life in China. God blew on it, he had nothing. He had to go to the YMCA and teach Tai Chi for a couple dollars an hour to people to make a living. The Lord has his way to balance the economy of this world. He does have his way. There's nothing dependable in the world economy today. Some of those top people, they had to come and live off their children here. They couldn't bring anything. I know one couple, they got the last two seats on the last plane out of Shanghai with nothing, just what they had in their hands. They got to find out in a hurry what was important. What was important. Anyway, dear saints, our heart must be for this, and our desire for our children must be for this. If not, we're in the wrong boat. I'll tell you the truth. This is the Lord's recovery. We won't chase anybody out, don't misunderstand me, but we want to make it very clear. This is what we are for. This is what we are for. Nothing ambiguous. No ambiguity. We're not here for a good time, a good life, a good American life that's so corrupt today. That corruption has infiltrated our families and our homes. We're here to build up the Lord's testimony on this earth. That's why, what miracle, what mystery that God and man should blended be. This is what we're here for, the blending of God and man. To be the Lord's testimony, consummating in the eternal testimony of the New Jerusalem. That's the eternal testimony of God and man. But that begins in the Lord's recovery, with the building up of Christ's body, the church. The church should be not a great house, with vessels of honor and dishonor, but the church should be the church of the living God.
Amen.
The pillar and base of reality. God manifest in the flesh. This is the church, to be the Lord's testimony. And this is what we must be for. So all of our work with our children must be to produce living, functioning members for the building up of the body of Christ, to be the Lord's testimony on here. This is what we're doing here. Yes, we have a life in this earth. That's right. I read you this afternoon, Brother Lisa. There are two aspects. We have to take care of our human living. We have to help our children to get a proper education, to get a proper vocation, a proper means of livelihood. We have to do that. But all of that is not the goal. All of that is not the goal. And among our children and young people and among our saints, the Lord prospers some. But that prosperity is not the goal. And that prosperity will only be a blessing if it's used for God's testimony. We're so grateful to the Lord for the saints who have given for the Lord's move in Russia. But let me tell you something. Today, that giving has gone down and the spending has gone up and those lines have crossed. We're now spending more than we're getting. Because the saints in the recovery have cooled off. At the beginning, everything's hot, right? Oh, we give. But some saints have given very faithfully and very sacrificially for the Lord's interest. And the Lord has prospered some to give large amounts. And one day, Brother Francis, can I say, the two checks that came next to each other? There were two checks came in the same day. Brother Francis told me, one check is $5, one check is $100,000. Two checks. Right behind each other. That's wonderful. $5, that's wonderful. Somebody sacrificed $5 to give. And someone whom the Lord prospered financially, they gave $100,000 for Russia. That's wonderful. That's for the Lord's testimony. That's to be prospered by the Lord for His interest. But the thing is, the Lord can't trust most of us with that. So we'll never see $100,000. Because if we got it, we'd spend it on something else. We'd get a new house in Anaheim Hills, right? Oh, Lord Jesus. Now I'm meddling, right? Oh, Lord. Saints, what are we here for? What are we here for? We have to settle this. This is my last word to you. So I'm very burdened. We have to settle this if we want to do the children's work. If we want our children to be for God's testimony, we have to be for God's testimony. And we have to aspire that all our children would be for God, whether the Lord prospers them materially or whether they have a very simple life. In 1962, in the beginning of the year, I had a thorough deal with the Lord. I was very ambitious, very aggressive in business. I had a thorough deal with the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm not here for that. I had my annual review. My boss said to me, you have a great future with this company. The only one thing is you have to pay the price. And I went home and got on my knees and I said, Lord, I'm not paying that price. I'm not here for that. I'm here for you. Please, give me a job that I can just make a living for my family. That's sufficient for us to live. And then I will give you the rest of my time. And the Lord gave me another job and within 2 years I was a senior executive. People died. God is sovereign. Three executives died. Two died and one got cancer of the larynx. And here I was under 30. I got promoted over people that had been there 20 and 30 years. Don't ask me why. I'm not that good. I'm clear. I'm really... But the Lord did something. I just wanted to put food on the table. Good enough. But the Lord did something else. That was a big test. Because I already told the Lord, I want to serve you. You just have to tell me when. I'll just make a living in the meantime. Then the test came. I got my last promotion. I was a senior executive. And then the Lord said, okay, now's the time to go. I'm so thankful. That was settled. That was settled. I mean that with all my heart. I don't regret for one minute. The Lord has been so faithful. The Lord has been so faithful. This is what we want our young people to give their lives for. Whether it's with the full-time or with a job or with a profession, it doesn't matter if we're for this. But if we're not for this, if we're for something else plus this, then it does matter. It does matter. So our work with our children has to be to produce living, functioning, useful members for the building up of Christ's body as God's testimony on the earth. This is what we are doing, saints. If you are for this, then I beg you, join us in this labor. If you are not for this, go home and rest in peace. I'm serious. I'm very serious. I don't mean die. Go home and have a peaceful life. Just go have a peaceful life. See if you can have a peaceful life. I think, having heard this word, you'll never have a peaceful life unless you give yourself to this. Anyway, I don't know why. This is the Lord speaking to me too. This is what we hear. This is what the Bible is about. This is what God wants. This is the peak of the divine revelation. We have to see this. In the Bible, Israel is the Old Testament picture of God's testimony. Of course, we know they failed. But anyway, there's a picture there. And in the picture of Israel, I put just a simple diagram on the board to demonstrate one point. As they traveled through the wilderness with the tabernacle, whenever they stopped, they encamped in this way. There was Moses, Aaron, and his sons on the east side at the entrance to the tabernacle. Then there were the three sons of Levi right around the tabernacle, the families of the Levites. And then there were three tribes on each side. The 12 tribes were divided around the tabernacle in this way, with three definite tribes, and the names are given, and I put them on the board. That's not important. What is important? Listen, these tables of the law that Moses received on Mount Sinai were the tables of the testimony. Well, we covered this in the recent training, right? The Ten Commandments are the testimony of God, the picture of God. So they are called the testimony. The testimony. These two tablets are called the testimony. And then these two tablets are put into an ark. And the ark is called the Ark of the Testimony. And then this ark is put in the tabernacle, and the tabernacle is called the Tabernacle of the Testimony. And this is the center of the life of God's people. And every tent faces this. In one case, before the tabernacle was put up, there was the tent of meeting. And when Moses went to the tent of meeting, every Israelite stood in the door of his tent and saw him. That means every tent of every Israelite was facing the tent of meeting where God's presence was. So, by inference, the same thing. Every tent of every tribe was facing, because this is where the pillar of cloud went up. This is where God's presence was. The law is the testimony. This is God. And the ark is Christ. This is God embodied in Christ. And this is Christ expressed in the church. This is the Lord's testimony. They didn't just go pitch their tents any place they wanted to. They had an order. There was a definite order. You had to be in your tribe in the right place. And when you put up your tent, you had to watch this, because that's where the cloud moved. And when the cloud moved, it was time to go for the Lord's move on the earth. Every house was focused on the Lord's move. This is the picture of Israel in a positive way, as the testimony of the Lord on the earth. This ought to be the picture in the Lord's recovery. Every household is centered and focused on the Lord's testimony. Not on anything else. Not on a better life. Not on a promotion. Not on a better place to live. A bigger house or a better car. Not on any material things. Not on any immaterial things. Position, recognition, status. but the Lord's testimony. This is a marvelous picture. I put it on the wall. I hope you see a picture. I tell you, I hope maybe I'm in the least tribe, Benjamin, but I want my tent, I want the door of my tent to be toward the Lord's testimony. Whatever tribe we're in the whole recovery, we all have to be for the same thing. We have to be centered on this. We have to be governed by this. This governed everything. When that cloud moved, the word came, and there was an order, and these three families of the Levites each had their assignment to take down and carry this thing. And there was an order of travel, and certain tribes went first, and the ark went, and certain things in a certain order. There was a definite arrangement for the Lord's move on this earth. It wasn't every man doing what is right in his own eyes, as in the book of Judges. No. That was degradation. There was a move on the earth to carry out the Lord's testimony, to build up and maintain the testimony of the Lord on this earth. That's what He redeemed Israel for. That's what He rescued them out of the usurping hand of Satan, of Pharaoh. That's what He has redeemed us for, saying this is what we're saved for. We're not just saved to escape eternal perdition and have a pleasant life in the sweet by and by in the mansion over the hilltops. That's nonsense. That's Christianity nonsense. We're here to be the mingling of God and man. Eventually, Jerusalem, the ultimate. A vision's the totality. The triune God, tripartite man, a loving pair eternally. This is where we're going. But how do we get there? We have to be that testimony today on the earth. We have to be the Lord's testimony today. This is a marvelous picture. Think about it a while. Everyone, the whole thing was headed up. In Ephesians, Paul tells us that we have been redeemed to be headed up in Christ. This is God's economy. To be brought into a proper arrangement and a proper order for the Lord's move on the earth. For the building up of His testimony. The carrying out of His purpose on this earth. Everything was under a headship here. Who was that? God was the head. When God moved, everyone moved. When God stopped, everyone stopped. In the church, who is that? Christ is the head.
Amen.
We all need to be headed up in Christ.
Amen.
In that divine arrangement. That divine order. That can move when God wants to move and stop when God wants to stop. To be one with Him. To be built up into such a testimony on the earth. In the three books, Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers, we have three crucial things. Exodus is a book of redemption. Redemption. God redeemed Israel out of the hand of Pharaoh. In Leviticus is the priesthood and the offerings, but it concludes with the consecration, with the voluntary consecration. And Numbers is the book of the numbering of the people of Israel for service. All of this is for the Lord's testimony. Exodus tells of the Lord's redemption of Israel out of the usurping hand of Pharaoh to be God's testimony. And everyone had to pay a redemption price. And the redemption price was the same for everyone from 20 years old and upward. That means everyone able to bear responsibility. And the price was a half shekel. A half shekel is 10 gerahs. That means the requirements of the Ten Commandments were met by this redemption price. So they were redeemed. The demands of the law were met by the price of redemption. They were redeemed by the blood, and then they paid the redemption price in the book of Exodus. Then, in the book of Leviticus, there is a voluntary consecration at the end of that book. A voluntary consecration of the redeemed Israel to be God's testimony. And the consecration offering, which was devoted for a vow to Jehovah, was of the person, his possessions, his cattle, his land, and his house. Four items. The person, the cattle, the lands, and the house. That is what we are and what we have. Everything is consecrated to the Lord. This is a voluntary consecration, and this is the call today to overcomers in the Lord's recovery. We have to make this voluntary consecration of ourselves and all we have and all we are to be for the Lord's testimony on the earth. And in this, the price varies. The price varies according to age, according to maturity, and according to sex, male and female. In our voluntary consecration, it's according to where we are, the price that we pay. According to where we are. According to the eyes of God for His testimony. That's the shekel of the sanctuary. The shekel of the sanctuary, it implies God's eyes are there. And it's His valuation. He values. We don't know how to value ourselves, and certainly we don't know how to value others. Only God values. So we all have to deal with Him. We have to pay the price. Whatever the price, according to His valuation, we have to pay it. We have to pay it. This is voluntary. But if we want the Lord's testimony and if we want to be for it, we have to pay the price of all we are and all we have. That's the price. All we are is nothing else. That's the absolute consecration, a voluntary consecration for the Lord's testimony on the earth. And then in the book of Numbers, and this is what we want to spend the rest of the time on, in the book of Numbers, there is a particular numbering. A particular numbering. For two things. Numbers tells of the numbering of the redeemed and consecrated Israel for service in fighting for and maintaining God's testimony. There's a battle, saints. There's a battle going on. There needs to be a fighting for the Lord's testimony. And there needs to be a maintaining of the Lord's testimony. And there are two things going on in the book of Numbers. There is a numbering for war, and there's a numbering for the testimony. And the very interesting thing, if you read, that's why I put the footnotes on the sheet. The same word is used for both. The service in the going to war, if you, okay, look at Roman 4. Okay, let's go slow. Roman 4:8. Okay, from 1 month old and upward to keep the charge of the sanctuary. So here the numbering begins with the babies. 1 month old. Why 1 month? Because after 1 month we know that they're going to live. There's an infant mortality, right? So within 1 month we know these ones are going to live. So they're counted. Okay? From 1 month old and upward to keep the charge of the sanctuary. This is the first category. Okay? Then B, from 20 years old, those able to go forth to war. Listen, from 1 month, keep the charge of the sanctuary. I'll come back. From 20 years, those able to go forth to war. And in this conference, Brother Lee said, this is the fighting on the campuses. The fighting of the young people going out, the trainees and the campus work to get, preach the gospel and defeat the enemy. And then, and in this verse, from 20 years old and above, all who are able to go forth to war. To war is to warfare or to the army. The footnote is there. The Hebrew word tsaba is also translated service for the priestly work in 4:3. The same word. Then in 4:3, from 30 years old to 50, to do the work of the tent of meeting directly. Numbers 4:3, from 30 years old up to 50, all who have entered the service. It's the same word, to war. To serve in the tabernacle or to go out to fight, it's all the same thing. Because it's all for the Lord's testimony. This was marvelous when Brother Lee opened this up to us in 1977. This is all based on the book, right? I'm not that creative. Okay. So, the same word, to warfare. To warfare. To serve in the tabernacle is to warfare. To fight, to spread, preach the gospel is a battle. To defeat the enemy out on the frontier. To stay home and build up the tabernacle, build up the Lord's testimony, is also a warfare. It's one thing. This is what Brother Lee's point was. It's all one thing. If there's no testimony, what are they fighting for? They might as well go join Billy Graham if it's just gospel preaching. Our campus work and our community gospel work, our gospel work through the vital groups for increase is for the Lord's testimony.
Amen.
It's not just to rescue people from hell and send them to heaven. It's for the Lord's testimony. It's a battle, our gospel work. But let me tell you something. To build up and maintain the Lord's testimony is also a battle. I like to check with the full-timers who go to the campus and who go out to fight the battle with the young people every week. Who fights more, Brother Lee or you? That's clear to me. He's here maintaining the testimony, supplying the whole recovery for the building up and maintaining of the Lord's testimony. He shouldn't have to go out to war because there's a limit to war. 20 to 60 is the time for war. Then 30 to 50, there's a number that have to maintain this directly. This is particularly in the case of Israel, the family of the Levites, that directly handle the maintenance and the carrying out of the Lord's testimony. And then D, some from 25 years old to be trained in the work of the tent of meeting. From 25 years old and above, they shall go in to serve. This is an apprenticeship in serving. Because the other verse shows that the real service starts at 30, but they need 5 years to be trained. So full-time trainees, we need to extend the training from 2 years to 5 years, according to the Bible. That's why we tell them after they finish 2 years, your training's not over. You need at least another 3 years of service before you are able to maintain the testimony. But anyway, there is such a thing. There's a full-time training in Numbers. It's wonderful. They come back to be trained in handling the things of the Lord's testimony directly. And then look at this, over 50, to cease the active service. Oh, good, we can retire, right? No, don't be so quick. Listen, to cease the active service in the work of the tent of meeting, but to minister to their brethren and to keep the charge of the sanctuary. It needs the youngest ones and the most mature ones to keep the charge of the sanctuary. It's wonderful. Hey, Dick, this is good. I like this, right? Listen, there's no retirement. Over 50, okay, you may not do the things directly. I'll tell you the truth. I think I can say this. In the young people's work, I do very little directly today. He does it. This brother over here, he does it directly. But I'm always here ministering to him. Fellowshipping, ministering, supplying, strengthening, encouraging. Right? This is right. I'm not only over 50. This year I'm 60. So, this is my function. I told Dennis, this year you have to do the conferences. I shouldn't have to do all the conferences. He didn't say amen yet. Okay. We'll give him time. Give him time. Let it sink in. But this brother always says amen eventually. Amen. Okay. Because he's like me. I'm not quick to say amen either. I always consider. Then eventually the Lord wins. Okay. So, over 50. And it's the same word. Return from the warfare. They've been serving in the tabernacle. They're returning from the warfare. But, a big but, saints. Our job is never over. What is Brother Lee doing? He's ministering to his brethren. He's ministering to all of us. So we can carry out this thing directly. Without such a ministry. Without such experienced ones. To minister. Where would we be in the Lord's recovery? We need such a ministry. To minister to us. To supply us. To strengthen us. That's not a retirement. Believe me. I can testify because I've watched Brother Lee since 1958 up till now. In many ways, he's working harder in these last 10 years than in the previous 30, 20 years. I've watched him now 50, 60, 30, 37 years. In the last 10 years, he's working harder. There's not a retirement, but it's different. He's not going out, traveling the way he did. He's not doing a lot of things he used to do. Actually, he's doing more. He's working harder. ministering to us. I tell you, it's always easier to do something yourself. It's always harder to do it through other people. That's why I don't like to do it. Nobody does it to my satisfaction.
Yeah.
Only this brother. I have to say, I'm very satisfied. That's why, on the one hand, that's why I can give 5 messages in a day and a half today. Because he took care of everything, all the arrangement, everything, the food, everything. I don't know how it all happened. He didn't even ask me. I told him, you take care. That's wonderful. That's wonderful. So, okay. Over 50. We're not finished. Over 50. If any of you, most of you are under 50, but some of you are approaching or just getting over 50. No retirement. You have a heavier burden. Now you can't do it directly. Now you have to motivate and supply others to do it. That's much harder. That's much, much, believe me, in business, and more so in the church life. In the church life, it's always easy. Tom, it's always easier to do it yourself, right, than to get others to do it. Me too. But eventually, we have to learn how to bring others in, to minister to others so they can do it directly. Then our effort is multiplied. My effort with the children is multiplied through all of the saints who've been picking up a little burden over these years and doing something that I couldn't do. Tell you the truth, I couldn't do what these sisters stood up here and talked about. I couldn't do that. I don't know how to talk to little kids. I love them, and I try, and I do talk to them, but week after week, oh, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, I'm over 50. I don't have to do it. I just supply them, encourage them, strengthen them. Right? That's good. Okay. Then listen, point F is a big point. Eleazar, the son of Aaron, in the Lord's arrangement for Israel, Moses is number one, then Aaron, the high priest, is number two. Then Eleazar, who's going to become the high priest, he's number three. He has the oversight of those from 1 month old and upward who keep the charge of the sanctuary. This is a marvelous picture. This shows how important the work with the young ones is in God's eyes. He cares for the youngest ones and the oldest ones. He cares for those from 1 month old and upward up to 20 years, and he cares for those over 50. Eleazar. And he became the high priest. This is how important this is to God. Caring for the children. And supplying the older saints so they can supply and keep the charge of the sanctuary. This is, to me, is a marvelous picture. A marvelous picture. All ages are needed. But look at how important, from 1 month old and upward, to keep the charge. And then over 50, to come back to keep the charge. Only over 50 also have to supply the serving ones. Minister to them. Be a life supply to them. Giving them direction and support and, right? So they can carry it out. And this is, Eleazar is over. The youngest and the oldest. It's quite wonderful. I like this. This picture was so clear when Brother Lee spoke it in this conference. I saw something, saints. Tonight, if I didn't have the outline, it'd take me 4 hours. That's why I use an outline. But tell you, I could burn the outline and I could speak to you for 4 hours about this. Because I saw something. I saw something. It has governed me since that time. We have to realize every age is crucial. All ages for the Lord's testimony. This is the ministry in the Lord's recovery. But tonight I like to say, from 1 month old and upward, this is what we're talking about. For the Lord's testimony. Don't despise the little ones. Don't despise the little ones. I have a lot of pages marked in here. If I start, okay, I will start and see. Let me read a little bit. Let me just find a couple of things. In chapter 1, going on with the Lord according to our age for the building up of the church. That's a good title. Going on with the Lord according to our age for the building up of the church. On page 8, Brother Lee says, there's a section entitled, The Usefulness of the Youngest Ones. I like this. Numbers 3:28 strangely mentions the male Levites from a month old and upward, indicating that they also were to keep the charge of the sanctuary. This verse reveals that even a very young one is useful in keeping the charge of the sanctuary. A baby a month old is, of course, not able to fight. However, he can help to keep the testimony. Later on, Bodhi says, I don't know what that means, but anyway, the Bible says so. I'm paraphrasing him, right? What that means? Keep the charge. But Bodhi said, suppose there's 1,000 children from 1 month old surrounding the church in Anaheim. That would keep the Lord's testimony. That would keep the Lord's testimony. Concerning the service or ministry in the tabernacle, there are in the book of Numbers 3 age groups. Those between 30 and 50 who were fully qualified to serve. Those between 25 and 30 who were engaged in an apprenticeship of 5 years to learn how to minister in the tabernacle. And those a month old and upward who could keep the charge of the tabernacle. A baby a month old may not seem to be able to do anything, but he is a help for keeping the tabernacle. If 1,000 little children were to surround our meeting hall, they would certainly be helping to keep it. This is what Broly said, 1977. You may think that such young ones are useless for God's testimony, but God's economy is different from our natural concept. According to Numbers 3, God would use even the infants to protect his testimony. We need to follow God's strategy. This means we need more young ones from 1 month to 20 years of age, and we need enough older ones to take care of them. The churches in the Lord's recovery need to become normal in this matter. Then the next section is entitled Caring for the Young Ones. And in this section, Brother Lee talks about how much ambition there was of seeking for eldership and so on. And he said, in Anaheim, there are only several hundred brothers and sisters. For this number, we do not need very many elders, but we need more brothers and sisters to take care of the young ones and of so many practical matters. It is impossible for every brother to be an elder or for every sister to be a leading sister. Let's drop the preoccupation with leadership and devote our attention to taking care of the young ones. We need some sisters who don't care to be leading sisters. This is 1977, remember? Remember? Okay, we need some sisters who do not care to be leaders, but who are burdened to take up the care of the young people. What a shame to be ambitious for eldership and leadership. We need those who are faithful to the Lord's recovery. Such faithful ones are not preoccupied with leadership. There is no need for you to wait for an elder to ask you to care for some young ones. Simply pick up the burden, come together with others to pray. Tell the Lord that you're willing to be burdened for the young ones and to take care of them. Please forget about eldership and eloquence and begin to take care of the young ones. In order to keep the church alive, we need the fighting and the caring for the little ones. That means we need the army, we need to encourage the trainees and those college students on the campus who are fighting the battle for the gospel, and we need the care for the little ones. Those fighting on the frontier keep the enemy away, and the little ones forming a wall around the tabernacle maintain the testimony. This is wonderful. One more. What about those between the ages of 1 month and 20 years? Those in this age group surrounded the tabernacle in order to keep it. The Bible does not tell us the meaning of keeping the tabernacle. Perhaps it meant to protect the tabernacle and to share in its maintenance. As the Lord's testimony today, the church needs more young ones, more new ones. However, most of us in the church life do not have the way to use the young ones and the new ones. It seems that the more new ones we have, the more trouble we have. But the more young ones there are, the more the church is protected. How wonderful it would be if the church in Anaheim had 1,000 new ones to protect the church life. So here, the 1 month also is spiritual age. You see? Not just the chronological age. In this message, Brother Lee applied it to both. You see? He says the church... He talks about eloquent speaking in the meetings. The church is not a place for eloquent speaking. Instead of eloquence, I prefer to hear the childlike speech of the new ones. How sweet such speaking is. We don't want to hear the same voices all the time. If there are no new ones speaking in the meetings, the church life will be under attack. Then, the next section is entitled, Caring for New Ones, Not for Leadership. Numbers 3:32 says, And Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, shall be chief over the chief of the Levites and have the oversight of them that keep the charge of the sanctuary. This verse indicates that Eleazar was to have the oversight of all those between the ages of 1 month and 20 years. I hope that among the elders in the churches, some would be overseers of the babes or teenagers. We should forget about being leaders. We need the oversight of the babes or teenagers. Let me read that again. Because this is going on. I hope among the elders in the churches, some would be overseers of the babes or teenagers. This is the picture. This was marvelous. Well, there's many more things. But in this conference, Brother Lee presented such a view. We shouldn't despise the little ones. The little ones are needed to keep the charge of the sanctuary. And then there are those who are needed to care for them, to care for the little ones. This is our view. All ages for the Lord's testimony. But we're on children's work, so I stress this point. But if I'm talking to the college students, I'll stress the fighting. If I'm talking to the middle-aged saints, I'll stress their direct service. Every age has something particular. Then if I have a golden age conference for those over 50, then I'll encourage them. You must minister to your brethren. Out of your years, you do have something. Don't believe Satan's lie. There's no retirement. You do have something. You can encourage and supply and strengthen those who are actively serving in the tent of meeting, in the tabernacle, in the building up of the Lord's testimony. Roman 4, the purpose of the numbering, to form an army, to fight for the Lord's testimony, and to defeat the Lord's enemy, Satan. B, to build up and maintain the Lord's testimony for his increase and expression. Roman 5, all ages are needed for the Lord's testimony in the church life today. We need a strong children and young people's work. We need an army to be aggressive in the campus gospel work and in the community gospel work. We need those who will care directly for the service in the tent of meeting. We need a training to learn how to serve in the tent of meeting. We need the older saints to minister to their brethren and keep the charge of the sanctuary. And we need the leading ones to oversee and direct the work with our children and young people. Hallelujah. What of you? Saints, this is what we're here for. We're here for the Lord's testimony on the earth. His testimony is simply his body. The body of Christ. God manifest in the flesh. This is what we must be for. This is what our children's work is for in the Lord's recovery. And this must be our aspiration for our children and even for our grandchildren. That they would all be for the Lord's testimony. From 1 month old until we go to the Lord. All must be for the Lord's testimony. If this governs our life, the Lord's recovery will have a very bright and promising future. The children, the babies will be cared for. The children will be cared for. The young people will be cared for. The college students will be cared for. The trainees will be cared for. And the Lord will have a way to move on the earth. Every house, every tent must be centered on this, on the Lord's testimony. Then the Lord will have a way. Anyway, saints, this is our goal. This is our goal. In the children's work, in the churches, in the Lord's recovery. The building up and the maintaining of the Lord's testimony. For this, we need the children. We need the young people, and we need all the ages of all the saints until the Lord comes back. I'll stop here, and I left some time for you to share something tonight. Now, out of this whole weekend, sorry, I didn't give you too much before this, so we can have some sharing. Be brief, pick up one point, and share it strongly and loud enough for everyone to hear. And don't give any long talks, okay? Enough messages, just strengthen one point for all of our encouragement, okay? Amen.
I appreciate this view tonight. I'm very thankful that the Lord allowed the trainees to come to some of the meetings. The view tonight in he sharing at the ending to be that there's such a desperateness in me that my house, even regardless of what age, would face the center of the testimony. In the view that, because if I'm going to be related to the saints, if I'm going to be related to the service and my family down the future, if my house does not face the center for the Lord's testimony, no one after me will.
Right.
You know, if my goal and my house does not face that Lord's testimony, my children's house will never. The ones that are around me will never face and be for the Lord's testimony.
Right.
I just feel real desperateness within me. Lord, make me pay that price. Whatever price is in my heart today, I pray, Lord, that you would break through, that I would pay it. Whatever it is in 5 years, I pray, Lord, that I would pay it. Because what else is there to live for but the Lord's testimony?
Our goal with the children's work is that the parents want to still win members for the body of Christ.
Amen.
We cannot touch the children's work unless we are solely for the Lord's purpose. We must be the testimony of the Lord, and we must be totally for the Lord's move on this earth. If we are not willing to be those, we should not touch our children, for we will not touch them with the reality. Our children's work is for the Lord's testimony.
Praise the Lord, and God has taught me not one person of any age is greater than the Lord.
Amen.
He's the one of those days in the year. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, tonight I feel this is like the pen of meeting. And you're standing in front of your tent, and you're looking toward the center and saying, where's Moses? Right? This is tent adjusting night.
Yeah.
To get our focus on the center. I feel tonight is a very opportune time for all of us.
Amen.
To re-consecrate ourselves.
Amen.
To Christ and the church and the testimony on this earth. And that all of our serving and all of our doing and all of our living would have just this as a center.
Amen.
To be for the testimony of the Lord on this earth.
Amen. The Lord needs the overcomers who will not go along with the world, Christianity, and the common situation in the churches.
Amen.
You know, I agree. This fellowship tonight is very good, very timely. You know, it seems that we have tried to coordinate our church life with all the other things in our lives. And so it ends up coming in second place or third place to the world, to our jobs, our businesses, and everything else. But what a view to have that we are here for the Lord's testimony. Nothing else. What else is worthy of our lives other than the Lord's testimony? And I agree. I feel like we all need to pull up the stakes of our tent and turn it around.
Yeah.
So the door faces the tent of meeting.
Yeah.
Tabernacle of the testimony.
Amen.
We are here for the Lord's testimony.
Amen.
How can we help the children? You know, I know my wife and I, we want our children to be in the Lord's recovery. But we have to first be ourselves really in the Lord's recovery.
Amen.
Absolutely in the Lord's recovery.
Amen.
Or else we just bring forth exactly what we are. If we're tentative in some ways, if we are full of reservation, we can't help but produce reservation. If we're fearful or if we're holding back, we'll just produce that. So we have to let go. Now's the time to reconsecrate ourselves to the Lord and for His testimony.
Praise the Lord. We are the most privileged people. It's a thoroughly good conference, and this
morning I was driving along and just enjoying what a miracle that, what a mystery that God and man blended me. God became man, make man God.
Amen.
I was enjoying that, and I was driving down Laguna Canyon in Diego, I went to work, and on Laguna Canyon there's a lot of greenery. A year ago I came out roughly and saw all the devastation and fire. I could not believe the resurrection. I mean, truly, I just thought, Lord, you know, there was something. And even in the recovery, sometimes, you know, storms come through, the fires burn everything away, and it's just amazing. More beautiful than ever. This canyon was really quite something. And so then I was going down to PCH and looking at these homes. And on one hand, it was quite beautiful. On the other hand, I thought, what's wrong with me? I just really don't think it. You know, it just seems so empty and vain. And then I went into some of the homes that lived on there, some business towns. Some of them were at the end of their life. It was an 83-year-old woman, and she is choosing to die. She lives alone in a beautiful place. And she's not eating or drinking because she has chosen to end her life. And another home where this man was taking care of his wife. They've been married 54 years, and 6 years ago she had a stroke, and she doesn't know who he is or she is. She's unaware of her environment. And she is taking all the rest of his end years to care day and night, 24 hours a day for his wife. And I'm not trying to get a story or anything, but my point is that the sense within, seeing these people and this, you know, Southern California lifestyle that's supposed to be so great, Mercedes going down and everywhere, just, I have the deepest sense of vanity, emptiness, and loneliness. I just couldn't imagine being, you know what I mean? I just felt like, how could they just live their life doing this? And it just, you know, I wasn't in a position to preach the gospel, but I just ached for these people, and I thought of these children that are in our care right now, and what our life is for. I thought how privileged we are, you know, to give ourselves anything else out of this way. So just that we can give ourselves, and like your brother said, this should be a tent adjusting conference. We are celebrated. Our children have hope. If we are not properly calibrated, this is no hope. Praise the Lord. I really enjoy this.
See, my message that Adam, Israel, and Christianity failed to do what God wanted them to do. But what about us? We're in the recovery. What are we doing to please God? Well, we need to be overcomers, even in the recovery. The recovery is not an end to itself. The recovery will not lead us to Messiah. The recovery will not make us New Jerusalem. Only if you're an overcomer today will you be part of the New Jerusalem. And we need to start by separating ourselves from the world in order to be God's testimony. You know, I don't have any children yet, but I'm so glad I heard it tonight. I heard this word tonight. That children are for the Lord's testimony.
Amen.
You know, so that they will know what their life is for. So they wouldn't be like me growing up some 20-some years and not knowing what my purpose in life is for. It's for God's testimony.
Thank you. vision, I mean, clear view from nursery to toddler, the pipeline to the full-time training. I just didn't really connect it that way. And as a parent and children serving one, I mean, this is really, you know, really new to me, and my attitude is changing. And in the children's meeting, I have this new view, and praise the Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a little example of how the Lord can really use all ages for his testimony. This last Thursday night, I had a co-worker over for dinner. And afterwards, he told me the thing that was so attractive to him was my children. He said he had only been in one other home that he had seen such an atmosphere, especially with the children. And this just goes to show that if we take care of taking care of the Lord's testimony,
right,
this will be infused into the children.
Right.
And this is something very impressive to people outside.
Right.
So my 10-year-old and my 8-year-old were there, and God's testimony. One for God's building.
Amen.
And what we want for our children, this will govern what we do with them. This will be the call that we hear our workforce. It's really touching. My husband and I, we homeschool our children. I don't have a kindergartner right now. My oldest is in kindergarten. But they've been considering what to use for our curriculum. We have a free choice, free option of using their school district. Or we can go with other things. You know, curriculum is a big thing right now because we don't want to constitute our child with something that we don't want to have to get out later. But then on the other hand, we want them to have the best training to function properly and be able to provide to the family. Just been beside ourselves. Lord, what should we do? But then this word came actually before Jesus spoke it, and also now. First, we have to set our goal. What is our goal? What do I want my children to be when they grow up? If my goal is that they be a doctor, then I'm going to gear my education towards that goal, that my son or my daughter or whatever are going to be doctors. But if my goal is that they would be God's testimony on here, anything else is secondary. The testimony is just the expression of God stand on the earth. And my son, this last couple of weeks, he's been doing this series on who am I, basically, all about me.
Yeah.
And we got to this point, what are you going to be when you grow up? He had to draw a picture of what he wants to be when he grows up. And he said he didn't know. And then we just started singing this song. When I grow up, I want to be a man.
Like
15, almost 60 this year. This summer I'll be 60. I wish I had this training when I was 6. Lord have mercy. All these young people without children, they have a beautiful thing to build their children up. When they're growing, they have to know these. Like some of you were lucky enough, I mean blessed enough, that you had parents in the recovery, and you had the training, and when you got married, you talked to your spouse, and you figured out what you were going to do, and how you were going to... I was blind! I didn't know a darn thing! I just knew how to be a good mother in the Catholic Church! For crying out loud, I am...
came to the Lord and had children, and my husband did not know the Lord, and it was such a heavy burden to bring the children to the Lord. And by God's mercy, my husband did come to the Lord, and the burden is a lot lighter. But I feel that this weekend has just been lifted off my shoulders because it's a body matter. It's just a blessing. And I just praise the Lord for his ongoing recovery for the children, for the children's sake, for his ongoing recovery, for his sake, for his just the gift. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Just yesterday, I was in a work situation with several people, and an older gentleman there spent a half an hour telling how he had raised both of his children to get PhDs. And he was very proud, and I guess, in the world someone would be. You find out he had a PhD and his wife had a PhD. And he said, I found out when I was very young what the meaning of life is. He said, it's not just to make money or to have a job, but it's education. And so I had a strategy for my children. And he just went for half an hour telling all the things he did from the time they were born. For every school, everything he went. When they were in high school, he quit his job to help them with their homework every day so they would get into the best school. Eventually now, he presents them to this other company as both PhDs. And I just thought, someone in the world, whatever they could have of you just to get a degree, then how much more we should follow God's strategy. I appreciated when Gene read that, when he read that line, we need to follow God's strategy.
Even this week. him and to sing to him and to praise, you know, even in his presence. You just realize what a precious thing that a small little vessel is. So we just realize that we have a job that is so precious. We have to do a good job. We have to take care of ourselves so we can be the proper testimony.
Amen. Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Thank
you. You have 30 seconds.
Lord Jesus, are we here for faith? Are we here for a good time?
A good life? No.
A good future? No.
No.
We are here for God's testimony. We need to take care for the children, young people, campus, within fields. We are here to produce living functioning, useful members for the building up of Christ.
So clear.
Amen.
We're here for one purpose.
Amen.
We're here for the Lord's testimony.
Amen.
We've seen it. How did we fall short?
Amen.
Oh, may the Lord have mercy on us.
Amen.
We would be so desperate to take His way.
Amen.
Let's conclude with this concluding thought. What miracle, what mystery.
Emmanuel, right? Emmanuel is the father.
Then, those of you who can help, we have to rearrange this hall again, the church.